You're watching Meet the Movie Press, and coming up, we're going to be talking about Black Panther and a bunch of other movies. Who cares? We're talking about Black Panther. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Welcome back, Jeff.
Dude, I have missed you.
You were so ill last week.
I've missed everybody.
So ill.
Yeah.
How many boxes of tissues did you end up going through?
It was like 50.
And what about for your
cold? I should be a Kleenex. Yes. Good one.
Thank you.
I am Jeff Snyder, editor-in-chief of the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com, at The Insider on Twitter and Instagram, and you're watching Meet the Movie Press with me, as always.
I'm a big fan of your work, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's a good website. Simon Thompson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Showbiz Simon. If you can get past my block, I had to block my profile this week.
Wait, what happened, Simon? Tell the folks at home.
I got a couple of death threats this week, which
just
is
an
quite
average,
funny.
Average week
just
for
an
you,
average
right?
week. I had a couple at the beginning, and then I had a couple later in the week as well, which is always nice.
You involved the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
I did. I spent
you?
A lot of time with the FBI this week.
Did they give a shit because you're British?
They genuinely do.
You're not even an American.
I am not, although I am legally here with the visas and everything. Yeah, so yes, I spent quite a lot of time with the lovely Federal Bureau of Investigations this week, reporting over 200 people.
So they stick a bodyguard on you?
No, but they have taken a very seriously, which is wonderful.
I'll be your bodyguard, homie.
I'm sure more threats will come, but that's lovely. So, yeah, so very good. And you can also see my work everywhere. But let's talk about Black Panther.
Dude, Black Panther. It's out today. It came out last night.
It a few did people have seen it.
It did like $25 million last night.
Yeah.
Which is more than like
it's insane.
All the Sundance movies combined will this year.
Well, we're talking about numbers. Should we go through maths on this?
Yes, why don't you do
let's
your thing.
Let's do the numbers.
Get it right out of the way.
Okay, so it's 25.2 million last night in previews domestically, which is, to put that in kind of a context with some of the other Marvel movies, that's double Deadpool, which was previously the largest debut. That was the first day opening. It's the second biggest opening behind Avengers Age of Ultron. That was 27.6, so it's pretty good. It's looking like this weekend. Well, it depends on whether you're looking at 3 days or 4 days, because obviously it's President's Day on Monday.
Right, and the trades have been all over the place on that one.
Yeah.
God knows.
So you're getting estimations 165, 170, which is for the weekend. But also then, if you're taking it as a 4 day, some are saying as much as 205, which means that it's already going to beat Deadpool, which is amazing. Overseas, it's already taken $23.2 million. The highest territory is the UK with $7.2 million. These figures are delightful.
They're off the charts for sure.
Marvel and Disney, you are spending the next 3 days drunk.
No, I imagine Disney is very happy about this. And they shelled out a little bit more on this. Kevin said that they spent a little bit more on this movie than the last couple.
I think they said the budget is like $200 million, I think, was the budget for this.
And it's certainly all up there on the screen. You know, Ryan Coogler did a great job of world building, of building out the world of Wakanda. And this is definitely going to be seen as a game changer overseas, you know, where historically there's a perception that African-American-led films don't perform as well overseas. But we're not seeing that. It is absolutely bucking that trend. And so hopefully, you know, this leads to more of those types of movies getting made now that the international audience is sort of, you know, okay with it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what else sort of Disney and Marvel take away from the popularity and the success. I mean, even from pre-sales and stuff alone, you know, this won't be the only lesson that is earned. There's something else that's being done right here. And as I was just saying, you can see all that money up on the screen, but sometimes that can be to the detriment of other parts of the creative process. But here, it didn't feel like that at all.
I mean, you know, Disney is certainly, you know, they're breaking some rules of their own. You know, like they put out the Black Panther soundtrack, which is full of curse words.
Yep.
You know, that has a parental advisory sticker on it, and you do not see a lot of Disney soundtracks with that sticker.
No.
But they felt it was important to stand behind the film and all the music that is in the film and that was inspired by the film. Kendrick Lamar curated it. So, you know, obviously there's going to be talk of a sequel.
Yeah. I would be very surprised if work is not already underway on that. I would think that even as soon as they got a sniff that this was going to be as popular, they would have at least set those wheels in motion.
I am not sure whether they have somebody working on a script or not. Would you want to see Ryan Coogler return for a sequel, or do you feel like, you know, it would be a waste of another, like, 3 years of his life? Like, no, like we want to see more from this guy.
I'm kind of torn. I think he would do an excellent job. I think it's going to be a difficult task to repeat this success in quality and financial level. It's going to be such a bar that's set so high. It's going to be quite difficult to replicate that. But you know that there's potentially a more chance of that if Ryan was at the helm. However, it's also the ideal opportunity, and we're always talking about diversity in the industry. There are a lot of African-American filmmakers who they're ready for this, and we need to give them a chance, male and female. And I think it would be really good that if he maybe did step aside and he turned exec producer or something, and it went to someone else to actually hold the reins, but he was kind of watching over that. That might be a really good option, to still have him involved, but not have him give it a whole 3 years.
Which seems to be, you know, sort of what's going on with Creed as well. I mean, everybody sort of thought, like, you know, he did such a good job with Creed. How do you make a sequel without Ryan Coogler? But obviously they are moving forward with Stephen Caple at the helm on that one.
And it wouldn't be the first film in a series or in a universe where the people who made that first film then stuck around to help out right. and to give ideas well, and to give info.
Favreau came back for Iron Man 2, exactly. but then passed over the reins yeah. on 3 to Shane Black.
So
and Peyton Reed is coming back for yeah. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep.
So Marvel does have a history of bringing back their directors. I just don't know, you know, if Ryan wants to, you know, go in that direction. You know, like, okay, this morning somebody emailed me IndieWire's story where it called him, you know, the next Spielberg, essentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, does he want to sort of be put in that box of, like, well, you're the next, you're the black Spielberg, essentially?
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Because Spielberg wasn't, obviously he's known for Jaws and Close Encounters and all these big sort of tentpole movies, but yep. you know, he was also making very adult themed films as well.
With more nuance, yeah.
And so like one of the things that is frustrating to me is, you know, you saw a lot of that the Rotten Tomatoes talk about Ryan's three movies. And yep. I mean, to come out of the gate with Fruitvale and then Creed and then Black Panther, obviously it's incredible. And very few directors get to make three first film, you know, their first three films like that. But the Rotten Tomatoes scores, it was like, I don't know, 94 for, you know, for Fruitvale or something like that, and 96 for Creed, and then 98 for Black Panther. So it's like, you know, he's ascending in this mind. To me, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
For like, forgive me, but like, Fruitvale is the best movie that Ryan Coogler has done, followed by Creed, followed by Black Panther. He's actually gotten worse with each film, in my mind, not to take anything away from him, because they're very different kinds of movies.
I would.
What do you think about that?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think that the difference is, I think it is, what's the best way to phrase this? I think it's easy when you're looking at a scale to try and equate it. When he did Fruitvale, it was very much he had all the control. It was a small project. It was certainly by comparison.
Right,
he had total creative control.
That's raw.
It was raw and it was visceral, and it was a very certain type of film. Creed was his first one into the studio, and so obviously with that, also with a property like Rocky, they wanted to have hands on. And when you have more people involved in these processes, as you know, it takes it slightly away from being something that is concentrate. And obviously, again, something bigger, Black Panther, Marvel, Disney, you are going to have even more hands in there and more things to think about. So I think that it's possible to equate the more hands on a project affecting the kind of that visceral, raw quality and that natural feel. I think that's fair. I think the films are getting worse. I don't think it's kind of like comparing tomatoes and bananas.
Yes, no, I mean, I completely agree. I don't mean to. The challenges and the goals are different. Each movie has a different goal. But I'm just, you know, in my opinion, Fruitvale is close to a masterpiece. I thought Fruitvale was terrific. It was my second or third favorite movie that year. Yeah, I mean, Black Panther, there's no comparison as far as a film.
Yeah.
But I see, you know, and people are also like, well, don't, you know, how do you shit on things like Black Panther? I'm not shitting on it. I thought Black Panther was very good. I thought it was one of the better, you know, movies. But yeah, like I see the masterpiece word getting tossed around left and right, and it just, it's like, folks?
Yeah, I wouldn't consider it a masterpiece. I mean, I genuinely really loved it. It's not even my favorite Marvel movie, but I did really enjoy it. But you do get that. You get people who are super excited, and you get poster whores who are saying these things to just, you know, try and get on the posters. I thought it was a really good movie. I thought it was a really good Marvel movie. I thought it was a great, if it stood on its own, it could stand alone very, very easily. You wouldn't have to see anything else in the Marvel universe. You could just enjoy that as it is.
I'm just saying it's fair to criticize this movie, like,
it is
and,
fair.
And you're getting,
yeah.
And I see people getting killed online for that, you know, mm-hmm. like, well, you know, like we're taking shots at the black community because we have a few nitpicks with this film.
Yeah, those arguments don't really stand up. And the thing is that these are the same people that then, when you're saying that a film is good, they're criticizing you for that. And then when you say a film is bad, they're like, "Oh, you're a fucking asshole."
Well, it's just that you either have to, like, you know, we're so trained in this culture to, like, take these strong sides where you either love something
can
or
be
you
okay.
hate something. I thought it was much better than okay. It's a very impressive film.
It's personal taste.
It's an accomplishment. It's absolutely an achievement for Marvel and for Ryan Coogler.
So.
I just, people are going a little bit overboard. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
It's a comic book movie.
I got to defend Fruitvale. I got to defend Michael B. and that first collaboration with Ryan.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's going to do phenomenally well this weekend, and I'm really, really pleased for everybody involved. I did a nice piece with Andy Serkis, actually, which is up at Forbes, about Black Panther, but also about his Imaginarium and stuff like that, which you might want to check out.
Andy Serkis is my favorite male performance in the movie.
Andy's great.
And, I mean, obviously, Michael B. is great as Killmonger. And, I went on Twitter late last night to see, like, those reactions, and there was a lot of Killmonger love out there.
It's one of the first Marvel movies sort of this type of thing. Say, you know, if you compare it to, say, like a Captain America movie or something like that.
Yes.
Where there have genuinely been more than, like, the top three characters that you actually kind of connect with and care about. There are so many good characters in this movie.
It may very well be the best Marvel villain.
Yeah.
I mean, people are putting him right up there next to Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Mm.
Obviously not Marvel, but just in terms of comic book movie villains. And it's damn near close. I don't know if this will get an Oscar nomination at the end of the year, but I don't think people will forget about it.
You know, I was about to say I think it's too far out, but Get Out came out this time last year and now is getting Oscar
Michael
nomination,
B. could so. Absolutely be in the conversation for a supporting actor nomination next year.
He's
really, really good.
I agree. I thought he was very, very good.
The problem is that I think he overshadows Black Panther in Black Panther's own movie.
Yeah.
And Black Panther's just generally overshadowed by just how excellent the rest of the cast is, particularly the female cast.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Anything else on Black Panther?
I don't think so. I mean, like you say, I mean, I would very much expect a sequel, you know, to be announced.
The question is
quite
when?
I would like to say maybe Comic-Con, but I think it's going to be before then. I would say that it's probably going to be in the next few weeks. I think we'll get an announcement.
I would take the over on any box office estimates. I think that this is going to get.
It's we said this a couple of weeks ago, but even then it was a little bit of a stretch. But I think it's going to walk 200 quite easily over the 4 day.
I think you're right. I think there's going to be so many repeat viewings. I saw people getting out of screenings at, you know, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock showings at 10 and going back at like 11.
Well, Anthony, who's actually in the booth today, as usual, he actually went to see it last night and he said he might go and see it again tonight. Now, he didn't actually love the movie. He felt a little bit disappointed by it, but he is still going to go back and do it. And I think that is going
to
be,
it's a lot.
Know,
there's a lot
key.
To take in. I mean, it's like 2 hours and 15
I'm looking
minutes.
Forward to seeing it again.
I would be down to check it out. You know, if one of my friends called me up this weekend and was like, "Hey, you want to check out Black Panther?" I'd be like, "Absolutely."
And I want to see it with a real audience because we've obviously seen it with industry audiences, people who loved it.
Oh, yeah.
But I do want to see it with a genuine audience. So I probably will go this weekend, actually, again, which is wonderful.
Hats off to Marvel on that one.
Very well done with this.
Now, let's stay on Disney because there was something that I wanted to talk about last week and I was out. You know, there was I woke up, I think it was the one day that I worked last week, and I went on Facebook and I saw a group of prominent screenwriters talking about how Lucasfilm has already hired a woman to write a script, a person of color to direct a movie, and it just hasn't been announced. You know, I wrote an article like basically saying, because I trust these screenwriters who have their ears you know, open in the community. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple people admitting it publicly on Twitter and whatnot. Because I didn't want to name anybody on Facebook because, you know, that's relatively private.
Yep.
Compared to Twitter, at least. You know, did you guys talk about this on the show last week?
We touched on it.
Yeah, like, well, why hasn't Lucasfilm announced these things? Is it because they don't want to commit to making the projects? Like, they're not sure? You know, they're just sort of like they've hired some people to explore some ideas, that kind of thing.
I mean, I think that could potentially be the situation. And I think obviously with sort of if those projects are to do with already existing franchises and they are franchises that they're being quite protective over, they might be just a little bit careful about announcing that because everybody will have an opinion on it. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they are. You know, having said that at all.
I mean, it's just like, you know, last week's announcement with the Game of Thrones guys,
yeah.
it didn't look good. Like, on paper, it is the smart call.
Yeah.
D.B. Weiss and David Benioff have tremendous experience creating worlds with Game of Thrones. This is the biggest TV show and has been for the last several years. If you have a chance to get them, you take it. So I understand why Lucasfilm did that.
Your competitor will.
Although we are now getting to the point where, like, well, Ryan's, you know, they just want to be in business with cool people, which I commend them for. But now Ryan's doing this trilogy and the Game of Thrones guys are doing this. And it's just like it doesn't look good to keep announcing these white guys. And I hate that line of thinking because, like, you know, people like, you know, there could be any announcement these days. It's like, great. Ugh, another white guy. It drives me crazy, that line of thinking.
I 100% agree with you on that. But also, I think chances are it's going to be more white guys being announced because this is what we've discussed previously many times. There are more white guys in this industry than there are white women, people of color, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're going to swing a cat and you're going to hit someone for a project, the chance of that person who's going to do it being a white guy, pretty high.
I mean, sure, but I mean, that was my honest reaction to the announcement. Yep. Like, wow, these guys just like don't seem to get what's out there in the ether, which is shocking, you know, because I think Kathy Kennedy is smarter than that. So I think that they need to reveal some of these diverse hires. And then you get, you know, I saw Variety, I saw THR write one, and they seem to just list all these black, like, storytellers who they think should be getting movies because they're black. It doesn't make any sense. Like, here's THR being like, well, Shonda Rhimes is a proven storyteller. Why isn't she getting a Star Wars movie? This is an insane suggestion. It's reductive.
You shouldn't give someone a job just because of their color.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking...
It doesn't help the cause
like,
that you're
Lexi
trying to
Alexander,
move forward.
Lexi Alexander should get a Star Wars movie. Why? Because she's a woman? Like, who wants to see Shonda Rhimes' Star Wars movie? There were a lot of these stories, it's like there's no critical thinking applied.
Yeah.
They just start listing off black people and women.
Well, we've been through this before. You know, you need to give the person... There needs to be more representation. Fact. We agree on that. But also, you need to... And we need to bring these people forward and give them the chances to do these jobs. Fact. But if they're ultimately not the right people for the job, then the job needs to go to the right person. But we do need to have more mix.
The problem is that the media tries to be like studio executives, but they don't think like a studio executive.
Yeah.
Like Mira Nair, if you were working at Lucasfilm, you're going to hire Mira Nair. Why? It doesn't make sense. So some of these editorials that I was reading that last week, it just got me worked up because it's like...
No, I can understand that.
No.
I can understand that. No, it doesn't help the diversity cause if
it doesn't. It's
tokenism.
It's reductive.
It is completely reductive. I mean, you and I, we're both very pro, need more women in the industry. We need, you know, a more mix
Absolutely.
Of people of colors
Just
and
make sure it makes sense.
Absolutely. Otherwise, it devalues what you're trying to do and it doesn't move
right.
What it's trying to move
I don't need a Shonda Rhimes Star Wars movie. There's nothing that Shonda Rhimes has done that suggests that she is prepared for a Star Wars movie. It's not that she couldn't handle it necessarily, but...
But it's also like you wouldn't want to see a Martin Scorsese, Ryan Reynolds comedy.
Right. Exactly.
Because it would probably be shit.
Or a David Oyelowo, Joel Edgerton comedy, like the one I saw yesterday.
Okay, we don't talk about that yet.
Holy shit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that off air.
I don't know if there's an embargo on that movie or not, but I saw two Joel Edgerton movies yesterday.
Yeah.
And so, but real quick, before we get into the news and whatnot.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about Red Sparrow. So, okay. So you had the chance to go, you didn't go last night?
No, I'm going
to
go and see it next week instead. I couldn't make it last night, something came up.
Another death threat?
No.
You're afraid to be out in public? Well, I did see Red
Life
Sparrow.
Life has been carrying on very much as normal.
I had a Joel Edgerton doubleheader yesterday, yeah. And Red Sparrow was the one that delivered. Man, I loved it. I thought it was absolutely gripping. Mm-hmm. I found it spellbinding. It had me in the palm of its hand the whole time,
yeah.
Which is a long time. It's like 2.5 hours. Mm. Jennifer Lawrence had me wrapped around her little finger. She totally fucking goes for it in this movie in a way that very few A-list actresses could or would. Mm. Like, I was talking to Kroll on the way out, and I was like, man, do you think like that Margot Robbie's team would have put her in this if this was offered to her? Because I don't think she would have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there are a lot of actors who would have done it. Jennifer Lawrence really goes to some dark places for
I'm
her,
really
for her art.
To it. I'm really looking forward to it.
I mean, and it's damn near Hitchcockian. I mean, that is really the word to describe Ooh. It. It's a movie for big boys and girls. It is very well plotted and well written. Francis Lawrence, I think this elevates him mm-hmm. to a new place in his career. I absolutely highly recommend seeing it. And it's not for the squeamish.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm genuinely disappointed that I couldn't make it along last night. And I was literally just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was thinking about Jennifer Lawrence. I have my pants on. And I was just thinking, like, she has had so much promise in her career, and occasionally she's turned out a performance in a role that is very, very good. It just, in the last sort of two, 3 years for me, I'm like, it's almost like she's kind of floated around so many films, like Passengers, that didn't hit the mark. And it's
yeah,
kind of like,
Mother, I hated Mother.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, she really needs something. So I'm really glad that this is on the mark.
This
I'm
movie very does not fuck
I
around.
I like her. She's good. I really like her. Well, that's really cool. Now, just briefly going back to what we were talking about putting directors in charge of projects, like I made the comment about, you know, Martin Scorsese doing a Ryan Reynolds comedy. Edward Douglas, who you know, we are very well of his work, actually saying, Simon, no. Martin Scorsese's King of Comedy and After Hours are his best films. I want him to do more comedy.
No, they're not, Ed.
But Edward, I agree that it would be good for him to do more comedy, but the right comedy. That's the thing here. You need to have the right tool to do the right job. And, you know, I don't. Sometimes a great director is not the right...
There are movies
Brian
like...
Brian De Palma and Jack.
There are movies like Casino and Goodfellas and Departed that are actually very funny at times.
Mm-hmm.
I like Scorsese's sense of humor, but there's no way I'm calling those comedies the best of his... Oeuvre, come on.
I wouldn't say they're his best films. I mean, I do love King of Comedy, but you know, but yeah, I just it's not a case of he shouldn't do comedies. It's a case of having the right tool to do the right job. Do you know what I mean?
Here was one though where like I thought, where's the diversity? This Tim Miller X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Tim Miller and Brian Michael Bendis teaming up on 143.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Which THR says is a Kitty Pryde movie, right?
Right.
How do you not have a fucking female writer or director on a Kitty Pryde movie? That's inexcusable if I'm Fox. Like, you messed up. I mean, I know everybody wants to be in business with Tim Miller, director of Deadpool. He's doing the Terminator movie. He's doing a billion other things for a billion other studios. But this is what I call a missed opportunity. I don't need every female superhero or whatever directed by a woman... Etc. But this should have happened.
Yes. No, I agree that should have happened. But also, you mentioned a number of factors there that could be a reason as to why it didn't happen. Because he does have a lot of projects on. And if you want to release a film or get it made in a certain window to get it out by a certain time, you can't wait around for Tim Miller because Tim Miller's busy. You don't have a lot of choice to then pop somewhere
I mean,
else.
Brian Michael Bendis is obviously a great comic book writer and knows the X-Men inside and out. But... I don't know. You look at something like Sony this week hiring Lindsay Beer and Geneva Robertson-Dwart to do Silver and Black. You know, why could Fox have not gotten one of those women or another female screenwriter to work on Kitty Pryde? I don't know. It's just like that's a movie that I think would benefit from a female perspective.
Yep.
At least either as a writer or as a director. And I don't know who's producing that movie. I don't know if it's Lawrence Shuler or not, but... Anyways.
But yeah, no, I think that is a valid point. But it just unfortunately sometimes we can't, you know, the cards don't fall the right way. so it just doesn't come together. But no, your point is correct. So let's look at some other news. Cloverfield Paradox. We talked about this when you weren't here last week. You got to see it, right?
Oh, I got to. It was such a... thank you so much. It was fucking awful.
Yeah.
If I see a worse movie this year, I will be shocked.
Have I seen a worse movie? Yeah, I have.
It was absolutely inept. And Julius Ona, I mean, and this is a real loss. Like, African-American director, had, you know, a very promising career, it seemed like, after being hired for this. This guy belongs in director jail. This guy needs to go away for a few years until we wash the taste of our out of our mouths. Like,
taste of ass.
I don't know how anybody hires this guy, and I'm sorry. But it wasn't good. He did a shit job.
It wasn't good. It wasn't the worst film I've seen this year.
What was worse?
1517 to Paris.
Oh, really? Oh, see, dude. I didn't see it.
We can talk about that later, but it's so bad. There are entire scenes. I did a bit of a rant about it last week.
I heard it was a bit,
there are
a
entire
boring
scenes that are just fucking small talk.
Yeah, I heard,
like,
it was,
hey,
just
let's get gelato. One
scene does not make a movie.
It's such a shame because it's such an important story, and yet it just done badly. It was a huge disappointment. I wasn't expecting much anyway, and I wasn't sort of like super hyped about it.
No wonder they didn't invite me.
Yeah, it's a shame. Cloverfield Paradox. 5 million people apparently watched it in the first week. And I think it was, it was 11 million people, wasn't it, in the first week. So this is a considerable...
Go on.
This is a considerable drop on this. Now, if 5 million people...
I'm about to explode, so go on.
Okay.
Keep going.
That if 5 million people had gone to the movie theater to buy this, to buy tickets to go and see this, that would not have been a box office hit. That would have been a big, big box office disappointment. Explode.
Okay. Cloverfield, 5 million people watch. Bright, 11 million people watch. What's the difference? I don't know. A fucking year-long marketing campaign? What the fuck? How do fucking trades compare these two movies and call this a failure?
For
a year, we had Bright fucking trailers. Yeah. Fucking... oh, you're shitting me. You're shitting me, trades. Like, what? This movie came out... like, out of nowhere. Yep. Nobody even knew what the fuck the title was until they premiered it at the Super Bowl. And by the way, everyone's like, oh, the Super Bowl promotion. You know, you can't buy that kind of, like, promotion. What if you go take a piss? What if you're going to get a soda? Then you completely have no idea the fucking movie's on Netflix. You missed that 30-second ad. You're screwed. So don't... it's like... oh, my God. This is apples and oranges. You cannot compare Cloverfield with Bright, which had a year run-up.
Mm-hmm. No, you are right. However,
this is a very successful launch for Cloverfield, and 5 million people watched it, and that's just in, first of all, this is Nielsen. Nielsen does not, they do not have Netflix's numbers. This is like fucking fairy dust that the trades pass along as fact. They cannot fucking measure all of Netflix, and if they do, it's only in the U.S., Think of how, like, Netflix does not give a shit about the U.S. They serve 100 fucking countries, 110 million people. So this is bullshit, okay? I hated the movie, but I will absolutely defend its performance. 5 million people watching that. What's 5 million times $9 a ticket? $45 million, right? Mm-hmm. Movie costs $40 million. That is a fucking win. If this movie was released in theaters, it would be a win. People are so stupid.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Anything else?
No.
Okay, cool.
I mean, am I wrong? How do people compare these two, 11 million versus 5 million?
No, your points are all valid points.
Next.
But also, one of the reasons they're being compared is because they are the only two figures that they have released. So
then who is released?
But right or wrong... that comparison is going to be drawn because you have previously you had 1 point, now you have 2 points, which are on a line. Whether they're right or wrong, but you have two stats which people are going to, whether you like it or not, they are going to compare it. Your point about the campaign, 100% agree with it. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And also, after the Super Bowl, you know, I think obviously there was an assumption that a lot of people would go and watch it straight away. After the Super Bowl, a lot of people are still drinking, having fun. They're not going to be straight away going to watch Cloverfield Paradox. That's going to affect it. So, yeah, no, your points are absolutely right. But all this is those two figures are out there. So people are, rightly or wrongly, going to draw a comparison. I know you don't like it.
Dumb people.
I agree with you.
Dumb people are drawing dumb comparisons.
Yes. Yes, but people do that. People do that all the time.
Frustrating, folks.
I know, it is
very frustrating.
But staying with Netflix, Ryan Murphy's deal this week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Interesting. Rumored to be $300 million. Obviously, some people are drawing comparisons and saying, as he's doing this deal with Netflix, as he's had such a strong relationship with FX, if he's going to do this, does that spell kind of the death knell for you know, is this part of the end of FX and what's going to happen? Is he going to be the only one that jumps ship? Lots of talk around that. That is a really good deal, that $300 million. What do you think about it?
You take that deal for the money. It's not about the freedom, because you have the freedom already at FX. Those franchises that he has at FX are staying at FX.
Yep.
They're not going anywhere.
Nope.
You're still going to get American Crime Story and American Horror Story, and he's still going to be involved in them.
Mm-hmm.
So really, what is Netflix paying for? I mean, they've already paid for Ratched.
Yep.
And for The Politician.
Yep.
So, like, you know, between his other commitments that are already on the air, plus these two new shows that Netflix has already paid for outside of its deal, like, I just don't know, what they expect one man to generate for them. Do I think it's worth it for them? Yes. And I think that he could be a real talent magnet for them. And again, if he creates even one or two new franchises for them, it's worth it. But I mean, and again, Netflix is still overpaying for talent. I think it's the right deal for Ryan Murphy. He absolutely, you can't turn down a figure like that. No. He had to take that deal, and Netflix was smart to offer it. But no, I don't think that this like leaves FX fucked or anything, or that you're going to see a mass exodus. They have a pretty deep bench over there.
Yeah.
And again, all those hit shows that you know and love, along with new ones like Pose, you know, are still going to be on FX.
I mean, I think there is nothing to suggest that FX will be like if the Disney deal goes ahead and it all goes through smoothly and stuff like that, that FX will be a channel that they will like discontinue or close or stop producing original content for. And as you say, he will continue to be involved in those shows that he has created. So this isn't a closing the door, ending it, cutting ties and moving on. That kind of relationship, creative relationship, will still continue. They're just basically, they're buying his talent and buying his ideas and his properties.
Now, have you taken my advice and watched Versace?
I haven't yet. It's on my, literally, it's in my pile at the moment at home. I am going to watch it. I want to sit down and binge. I think this weekend might be that weekend.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's like maybe halfway through its run. I don't know how many actual episodes have aired, 4 or 5 at this point. Yeah. But yeah, I think you should go for it.
I love his work. I really do. I mean, creatively, I think, it, you know, there's some similarity in the stuff that he does, in the kind of the stories that he wants to tell. But I always like, I just love the aesthetic and the feel of his work.
See, I
just
don't.
The fact that he's involved.
I like American Crime Story, but I don't watch anything else. I don't watch American Horror Story or Scream Queens or Glee or
just uneven, but
you know, but I recognize his value.
I think you'd like American Horror Story. I think you'd like that.
I don't think I would.
Freak Show is one of my favorite seasons of that show. It's just amazing. It's so strong.
I've seen an episode or two of that. It wasn't for me.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I think you're going to see more big deals like that too.
Yeah.
THR actually had a pretty good list, I think, about it, like Dick Wolf. And I don't think Dick Wolf is leaving NBC, but there are a few power producers like a Greg Berlanti or somebody who you could absolutely see doing it. And you know, Netflix is also going to give Ryan Murphy the opportunity to direct feature films.
Absolutely. Yeah, which would be good. Xeno Hour was just talking about Netflix. Xeno Hour is saying that some people just want Netflix to fail. I kind of agree and I disagree. I think there are people who always want to see something fail because that's just human nature, but Netflix will not be failing.
Why would you want to see Netflix fail?
I don't know.
Is the best deal on the fucking planet
It's great. But
what are we paying? $9.99 a month?
But when people are successful or things are successful, there will always be a group of people who are like, let's tear it down. That's human nature, unfortunately. We can't stop that. But, you know, yeah, but Netflix is not going to fail.
Netflix
has this money that it's doing these things with, and it's totally fine. We should not be worrying about Netflix and Netflix will not be failing anytime soon. So that was Ryan Murphy. Let's talk about a story that you knew about and I knew about when we were discussing this just before the show. Willy Wonka.
I did not know about it. You knew about it.
I knew about it. Okay.
Just didn't tell me.
Yeah, that is true.
There are other people who know about this, okay. So feel free to tell me these things.
So it's now out there that Paul King is going to be... Are you all right? Do you need some water or something?
I'm good.
Okay.
Got a tickle.
Paul King is going to be doing, or he's certainly talking about doing the Willy Wonka movie for Warner Brothers, which is excellent. Did you get to see Paddington 2? You did, didn't you?
No.
You didn't?
I'm not watching the fucking Paddington movies. I'm sure they're great. I'm sure
they are really good movies. I think if you saw them, you would enjoy them.
My inner child died a long fucking time ago.
That's sad.
It is.
Should we go and watch it together?
Only if you'll hold my hand.
I'll give you a little call.
I actually had a Paddington bear growing up. But no, I'm not watching those movies. I'm not eight.
But it's certainly, if you like, Paddington 2 at times had a very Wes Anderson feel to it.
This is a 100% Rotten Tomatoes score, right?
Yeah,
this
is I believe it is. And so
that makes it the greatest movie of all time.
Pretty much.
It's better than Black Panther.
You don't have to see any more movies after that. It's not...
Paddington 2,
I love
Black
Paddington
Panther,
2, but it is not...
Everything else.
Yeah, at Lady Bird. But it is not the... it's not the greatest one of all time, but I did certainly really love it. So Paul King is now going to be in charge of the Willy Wonka movie. I love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I love the book as a kid. I actually didn't mind the Tim Burton reimagining. I'm really looking forward to seeing Paul's vision of Willy Wonka. I really think it would be, from his track record, from his first movie, which was not a success, to then doing Paddington and Paddington 2, I think this could potentially be something really quite wonderful.
It's a good hire for Warner Brothers, absolutely.
Hire.
I mean, from everything that I've read about Paddington 2, people are loving it.
He's also very popular, Paul, in Hollywood. I mean, whenever I... Because, obviously, I have to say, he's a friend of ours. My wife and I. But whenever he comes up in conversation in Hollywood... There are so many people that love his work and do want to work with him. I mean, the amount of projects he's turned down in the past couple of years, like the second Mutant Ninja Turtles movie at Paramount, he turned that down.
Touched a bullet.
They wanted him to do Wonder. He passed on Wonder. That couldn't happen. There are so many, and this is just like the tip of the iceberg. So many people want to work with Paul. I think this is going to be, I'm really excited about this. I really am.
I don't know that we need another Willy Wonka movie. That's the problem.
No, I agree.
I guess it depends on casting.
But give me a Willy Wonka over a Robin Hood or a...
Yes.
You know,
I'll give you that.
Peter Pan.
I'll give you that. Who would you cast?
I honestly...
It's so casting dependent, especially since this isn't Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This is Willy Wonka. He's going to be focused more than the kids, I think.
I haven't thought about that.
The talk for a long time, and this is...
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, it was Gosling.
Eh.
I don't see that at all.
I didn't see that just in the look or the feel or anything. I mean, he'd be a name higher, but, you know, I'm wondering how long until we go, it's going to be The Rock. No, it's not going to be The Rock.
I would be, speaking of The Rock, though, I'd be totally fine with his Jumanji co-star, Jack Black.
Ooh.
Could you see him as Willy Wonka? Huh?
Do you know what? No, I don't think I could. It's not a ridiculous suggestion. But I don't think I... people in the chat are saying Cumberbatch. Xena actually just said The Rock. Cumberbatch, Benedict Cumberbatch could be interesting.
Cumberbatch is not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, but isn't that like... You
David
know,
Chappelle or, David. Or Cat Williams? No, Zayas.
I like how they call him David.
That is David Chappelle. I don't think
that's
going to
happen. What about a female Willy Wonka? Why does Willy Wonka have to be inherently male?
You're going to anger some people. The Rock as the Oompa Loompas and Hart as Wonka. That'd be quite funny.
Kevin Hart as the Oompa Loompas would be great.
That'd be so good. If you work in a chocolate factory, you shouldn't be skinny. Good point, Ed Douglas. Get a fatty. Yeah,
see? There
get
you
a fatty.
I'm just saying he's the best thing about Jumanji, right?
I'm going to have a think about that, and we can talk about that on the show again, because I don't know, but I'm really interested
and
to see.
I don't know how big Jack Black's role in Goosebumps 2 is going to be.
Yeah.
If he's even in it. I don't know what the deal is with that.
I think he signed up for that.
I mean, I would imagine, how do you do Goosebumps 2 without him? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. He'll be front and center like he was in the first film.
Tom Hiddleston, David Tennant, people are saying.
David fucking Tennant.
Zias is saying Christ. Willem Dafoe. I don't know. Willem Dafoe. For a start, he's a short man.
He could be the Joker.
Danny is Wonka. No, Danny's already being Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah.
For Universal. He's just started filming that. Yeah. I have some interesting stories about that as well, but I won't tell you now. Daniel Day-Lewis is Wonka. Oh, my God.
Bring him out of retirement.
Can you? That would be so good. I would. That's. I mean, it's not going to happen, but it's quite funny. Yeah, Matt Smith is Wonka. I think people are just naming
Jesus
Doctor Who people
Christ.
Now. Simon for Wonka, yeah. I don't know, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Let's talk about some other director
Dick
news.
Dick Jokes and Chocolate.
You see Call of Duty got a director?
I did. I have so little interest in that movie. Never
yeah, I don't. I've never played Call of Duty. I don't know what the world like. What
Duty.
The world of Call of Duty is.
Duty.
Yes, Duty.
Nice.
Apparently, the producers at Activision see this as a potential rival to the Marvel and DC universes.
Right, okay.
Good luck with that line of thinking.
Lovely.
That always works out for you.
Very happy for them.
I will say that The Hire is good. Sicario 2 Soldado director Stefano Solima. I think that Sicario 2 looks fucking awesome. I think it looks badass. It's clear that they have upped the action, having lost that main character played by Emily Blunt. So it seems like a real nice get for Activision.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, I haven't really seen Sicario 2 yet, so I can't say whether it's good or bad.
I mean, I'm still,
but,
I'm just still
he
not...
He seems like the right fit for it.
I just... Hollywood's love affair with these game adaptations. I still... My head is not completely around that. I mean, it seems like something they consistently...
They're running out of IP, dude. They need to do Call of Duty. They got to do Halo. They're going to do all that shit. Gears of War...
But I mean, they can they have an audience, but it just they're not. There's yet to be one that's been really good and actually made a lot of money. I mean, I know the Tomb Raider movies were successful, and it'd be very interesting to see what happens with this one.
Very, but very curious how it's going to perform.
I don't. Audience
it looks ass-tastic, but
you know it's crazy. But Hollywood still has this fascination with adapting games. Really weird, but I you know that's. They're cool. Okay, other sequel news. A Den of Thieves sequel is happening. Now, I did not like Den of Thieves. I was not a massive fan of that. I thought it was overlong, and I thought it was just... Could have been so much better. But the world that it created... And I actually kind of liked as, you know, it was kind of... I think Gerard Butler's character actually could be quite good. I'm okay with there being a sequel to that. I'd be quite interested in seeing that. I think it.
You hated the movie, but you want to see the sequel.
I didn't hate the movie. I didn't love the movie. I thought it was very adequate, but too long. But I would be interested. It set up a world quite interesting. So I would be interested to see what they do with the sequel. Just make it like 40, 50 minutes shorter.
Yeah, it's
that
2 hours
would have saved
and 20 minutes.
Den of Thieves for me.
So I'll be honest. When I was sick. I was definitely looking to pirate Den of Thieves.
Okay.
I was looking for bootlegs online. I did find one, but it was shot in handheld camera. I'm not... Well, I don't watch that shit. Come on, Billy. Like, I need at least a standard def copy. I don't watch handheld shot movies with a fucking camcorder. What is this, 1998? So, I am actually... I want to see Den of Thieves. It's the kind of bad movie that I like to see.
It's in dollar theaters or whatever. Effectively dollar theaters.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously couldn't have gone to the movies when I was sick last week. But I'm definitely curious. Am I surprised it's getting a sequel? Yes, mainly because the numbers I don't think are really there. I mean, I guess I think Ed told me that it hasn't opened in like 50 markets or something. So the international grosses are about to spike. But as of now, it's made 58 million, of which you keep half of that, 29 or whatever. And the movie costs way more than that.
Yeah.
So as of right now, I don't know how the pre-sales and all that stuff works. It seems like it has lost money. But, once all those art markets open, maybe it'll be clear that it makes sense for STX to do it. And STX certainly could use, you know, franchises.
Yeah, and it's something that, I mean, when I spoke to Gerard about it, he really likes this character, and he really did want to, he was hoping it would land so that he'd get to go back and explore the character again, and, you know, it is something, even though he said, like, a lot of the movies that I promote, they're kind of shit, but, you know, this one actually I genuinely wanted to do, and he worked, you know, it had been in the pipeline for a long time. So I think this was kind of his original hope and intention that it would become something bigger than just one movie. It is interesting, as you say, by the fact that it hasn't done particularly well. At the box office domestically.
It hasn't done poorly.
No, but it hasn't done gangbusters, you know? It's kind of done a... It's done okay. Again, this is
almost 2.5 hour movie. Like you said, if you shave it down a half an hour, that's going to bring the budget down. You know,
yeah.
The longer the movie, the more expensive it is.
And that's the biggest problem. I mean, there were some problems with character, but I mean, really, it was the fact that it was just too. They just over egged this pudding.
It's 100
chunks of it.
It's 140 minutes long. If you make a 95-minute movie, you cut a third of the budget right there.
Yeah.
So
no, 100%.
I can see how it makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about something else that is being redone or having a second wind.
It's almost 10 o'clock already.
Yeah, Michael Fassbender.
Holy shit!
Michael Fassbender is going to star in a feature length Kung Fury movie. Have you seen Kung Fury?
I could get like through 2 minutes of this. This is like one of those hipster in jokes that people love.
Yeah.
No.
What is Fassbender doing? I honestly don't know what is happening to this guy's career.
Yeah. Jinx. You owe me a Coke.
Okay, go ahead.
I said it first.
I owe you some Coke. When I saw that today, I was like, oh, the other day, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Why?
Any announcement coming out of Berlin, if you're an A-list movie star, you don't want to be in that announcement. So we got, fucking Fassbender and date. Like, when you're looking around and your co-stars are David Hasselhoff and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you might want to rethink that decision. And who knows if this sticks. I mean,
I don't know.
He's going to be producing the movie, which I think is, maybe one reason why he signed up. But, a real head scratcher of a decision. I don't know that a Kung Fury feature length movie.
No.
I don't know how that.
Well, we'll see if that happens. We'll see if Fassbender's still on board. But I was just like, oh, God. Some other quick news. House Party reboot coming from LeBron James. This is actually a news story.
Seems like a no-brainer, actually. House Party.
Love those movies.
I like all these. Yeah, I grew up watching those movies, the Kid and Play movies. Mm-hmm. And then, it's been a while since we've had a good House Party movie, like a Project X.
Yep.
I think a Black House Party movie, which is what the House Party movies were.
Yep.
Could be really successful. I think LeBron is the right producer, the right shepherd for that brand.
Mm-hmm. I'll be up for that.
Yeah.
I only quite recently actually revisited the House Party movies, the first two.
Who would you want to cast?
I'd have to think about that one. There's quite a few people out there at the moment that I think would be really good.
I'd like to see Donald Glover in like a studio comedy. Like, he's doing all these tent poles and stuff, and Solo's supposed to be funny, but like a Will Ferrell, Seth Rogen type of like comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see Donald do that.
There's nothing to suggest that this would be the case, but do you think they might do it with like, this time let's have women as the people doing the party?
Yeah. No, that's totally possible too.
Because if that was the case, I didn't think about that. Like, they would probably straight go to for the likes of Tiffany Haddish and
she's kind of thing.
She's too busy. She's too big.
She's
now.
Too old. What do you mean? She's too fucking old.
Yeah, I guess.
She's 40 years old throwing a fucking house party. No.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know who was good though?
Who's that?
That chick who plays Alexander Shipp, who plays Storm, and she's like young Storm.
Oh yeah.
I saw her in Tragedy Girls when I was sick.
Zoe Kravitz?
She was good. Yeah, someone like, Alexander Shipp and Zoe Kravitz throwing house party.
That'd be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Also this week, Melissa McCarthy and Tiffany Haddish are going to star in The Kitchen, which is going to be an adaptation of the comic book, rather a gritty comic book.
DC is now involved in that.
Yeah.
That's a DC movie.
Interesting. I don't know a huge amount about the original graphic novel, but I'm...
Neither do I, but...
Quite interesting. And Alex Garland, this is a story I spoke to you about very briefly earlier. Alex Garland said he's interested in doing a Swamp Thing movie for DC. Obviously, Alex is doing press at the moment for Annihilation, which is in theatres in the US and going to Netflix in the UK. Interesting. Swamp Thing, I would be interested in seeing a new Swamp Thing movie. Growing up, I actually really liked Swamp Thing.
Where's the pass button? Because I would press it.
I know
right
you're
now.
Not a fan.
Pass.
I'm not a fan. But that doesn't. It's
Swamp
not at all interesting.
Thing. This is. That sounds like something my dad grew up with. Speaking of which, it's Dad's birthday today.
Hey,
dude, 64. He's getting that senior citizen discount at the movie theater now.
Pretty good.
Cashing in, Big Daddy.
Pretty
and
good.
It was my brother's birthday last Friday. I really wanted to make it on the show to give him a shout out, but I missed it. So happy belated to Johnny.
It was your birthday as well last week.
It was. I was alone on my birthday. It sucked.
Oh man.
I was in quarantine.
Sorry about that. I sent you a text though.
You did. You're a classy gentleman.
Thank you so much. But yeah, so yeah, it's one thing I would I'd be interested in.
Do we have any extra time on the show today? All right, let's just run through a bunch of quick things.
Okay, cool. Miss Movies is in the chat. Hi.
Chris Columbus to direct Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yes.
For Blumhouse. Mm. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, I that was not... When I read that, I did reread it because that was not a name that I would have put
Chris Columbus has sort of been floating around out there in the studio system for a few years ever since Pixels didn't do so hot.
Mm.
I think you know, working with a lower budget at Blumhouse and a real brand like Five Nights at Freddy's that could blow up, I think that is a smart move for both of them. And Alita Battle Angel got pushed from summer to December.
Yep.
Not a great positioning. It's now like in there with the big boys. I don't know how well that's going to work out for it. We'll see.
Talking of that, I was actually I did a piece with James Cameron, which is going to be in Sci-Fi Now magazine in the next couple of months. And he was talking about that. He's looking at it to be more than one movie. That's the idea, is the fact that if this does well, it'll be the start of a franchise. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested in that film, but it's interesting to move it there.
Yeah, tough for me to get around those gigantic guys. Yeah. That's a real choice. Stephen Chbosky, who did Wonder, which was a huge hit, is doing a Dr. Seuss movie.
Yep.
A lot of people angling to do a Dr. Seuss movie. There's a couple of projects floating around town, and everybody wants to do that, you know, sort of semi-tearjerker where his wife gets sick and it threatens his whole world and but inspires him to do his best work. What else? Let's see. Jason Statham doing a project called The Killer's Game, which has been developing for 20 years. Yeah.
Statham!
Dude, Jason get in there as a stunt double. Of course, he's going to be playing another assassin.
Of course.
Who gets
never plays like a baker.
Gets diagnosed. A lawyer, a professor. What were we expecting?
I'll tell you what I'd love to see him do is something where he is kind of like he almost, where it's like he does do an everyman role, but that everyman is like a hitman or something. Yeah, so he's like a dad. He's like the Mr. Mom kind of thing, but on the side, he's like a kind of Mr. Mom meets
I'd like
the,
to see
the
him
long
back
kiss goodnight.
In like, he was so good in those early Guy Ritchie movies. Timothée Chalamet playing Henry V in The King, David Michaud's next movie. I'm going to be honest. Anytime I see Henry anything, I
regarding Henry?
Henry IV, Henry V, Henry the who gives a shit, I do not care.
That was his cousin.
Anything. Yeah, Henry who gives a
Henry
shit.
Henry
who
gives a shit, yeah.
So an odd choice for Timothée Chalamet, whose other movie, Beautiful Boy, has been set for October by Amazon. This is one that I have super high on my potential best picture list for next year.
Yep.
This is one where he's a meth addict and Steve Carell is his father. Apparently, test screening results were mixed, and people on Awards Watch are talking about it. I don't really put a lot of faith in test screening results or whatever, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on Beautiful Boy. You see these short films that are being turned into movies? Larry, did you watch that this week? Larry and Teddy Bears Are for Lovers, about like a guy who like is constantly giving his girlfriends teddy bears, but then like breaking up with them, cheating on them, whatever.
Right.
And so the teddy bears come back to get their revenge.
Did not know all that.
Show him
that
the error of his ways.
Cool.
I don't know.
I like the idea of that.
Some of these short films, man. I watched both of them. I wasn't really impressed
with
either
one.
But
some of them are great as short films. Doesn't mean you need to make them a feature. They're great as short films.
Exactly. Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal and Ansel Elgort doing a Boston thriller called Finest Kind with Zendaya.
Yep.
Seems like an odd assortment of elements there. But Jake doing a Boston thriller, sign me up.
Yeah.
Dev Patel is going to play David Copperfield for Armando Iannucci.
I did see that. Interesting.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm all for more Dev Patel.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron was involved in setting up a spec called Hustle at Legendary, which sounds like The Air Up There. Have you ever seen The Air Up There with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he like goes to Africa.
Yeah, that was like
this is now
early
like
90s.
You know, basically a washed up scout who finds like a Chinese streetball player and brings him back to America. And,
okay.
Jim Parsons is going to play a drag queen in The Legend of Georgia something or other.
Excellent. He's a very funny guy, whether you like Big Bang or not. I've interviewed him a few times. He's a very funny, very dry, but very funny guy.
I can actually see that. Yeah. And drag queens are obviously super hot right now.
Super hot.
RuPaul is like, you know, that's like the hottest show on TV.
Hasn't been this hot since like the 90s.
Robert Pattinson joined The Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. Robert Eggers' next movie. Robert Eggers seems to have had like three or four different next movies following The Witch.
Yeah.
Things, you know, start to move forward and then they don't. I'd heard that Pattinson, that he wanted Pattinson for the Nosferatu remake that he was doing. I don't know where that stands right now.
Okay.
The Lighthouse sounds like it could be interesting. It deals with old SeaWorld myths and it's him and Willem Dafoe. IndieWire, an exclusive this week.
Right.
About the fucking Tarantino movie moving forward at Sony. It's like, so this movie that everybody said was going to happen, guess what, folks? It's still happening. Just in case you believe some of the Twitter people who said it shouldn't happen. This is not an exclusive, okay? This is just
a thing.
Things are going on as planned. No one reported otherwise. Do you think that
Breaking
Sony...
news, nothing to see here.
Do you think that Sony should not move forward with the Tarantino movie after all this shit? No. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Man, people just like, you know, you get accused of like anything these days, and they just want to strip your entire fucking career away from you. It's fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
Legendary and Universal. Did you talk about that last week about winning the Red Notice auction with The Rock?
No, we didn't.
They're gonna pay him $20 million now.
Yeah. Interesting.
Seems like he's worth it.
I've got two ideas. I'd love to sit around a table with The Rock and pitch him. I'll gladly.
The Rock, bring us in. We will make you an even bigger star somehow than you already are.
That he would be in no way able to turn down.
Get Out and Call Me By Your Name won the WGA Awards.
Yes.
Man. Okay. James Hetfield, the lead singer of Hetfield, the singer of Metallica, joining that Ted Bundy movie.
Have you ever seen Metallica live?
You know what? First of all, Metallica is like maybe my favorite band. Like them, top three.
Mm.
I've never seen them live.
They are amazing live. I've seen them live like three or four times. Every single time.
You like hair metal.
Huh? I just really like Metallica. I wouldn't consider myself to be a particular metal fan. There's a lot of metal.
I was
going to
say you
I
just
like.
Saw, you headbanged it
definitely
all off your head.
Yeah, it all fell off. That's
Boom.
Why. Yeah.
I just love it. The guy who was sang "Am I Evil" on Kill 'Em All is now going to be bringing down the ultimate evil, Ted Bundy.
Yep. It's really nice. I do like the cast of that movie.
Obviously, last week I missed the news that Joaquin is going to be the Joker.
Yes,
that's something
we talked about that at length.
I've known about that for like 2 months.
Yeah,
and you know the reason that he would do it obviously is because it is designed as a standalone movie.
Yeah,
it would be a one-off.
Yep.
That is why he didn't sign on to Doctor Strange. He did not want to commit to being in 17 different fucking movies in the MCU. So I hope that works out. I think Joaquin would be pretty fucking cool. And what else? David Leitch, we saw, was the front runner for the Fast and Furious movie. I guess that makes sense. He seems to be the sort of premier action director these days. That's for the spinoff, sorry.
Yep.
That's for the Rock and Statham spinoff. By the way, we have no idea what's up with the Bond 25 director. Where's that announcement? Wasn't that happening? Like, supposed to happen around Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
One of my followers joked that it was probably going to be Denis Villeneuve, and then the producers saw Blade Runner 2049.
And decided not to.
Which is nominated for like four or five or six Oscars or something.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if Roger Deakins finally wins for that. But yeah, you guys know I was not a fan of 2049.
No. No, I mean, as a movie, I thought it looked beautiful, and there are many things I liked about it, but I didn't like it as a movie.
And Fangoria got resurrected this week.
I was really pleased about that.
Yeah,
Fangoria was a magazine that I used to read all the time as a kid, and there was used to do some really good writing, some really good features, and covering movies that don't usually get featured. So I'm very, very, very happy about
that. Yeah, it's just, you know what? Happy. It was just I loved the release. I loved writing up that release. You could see the passion. They were very honest about the brand's ups and downs.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who paid for subscriptions that never received them.
Yep.
So they have a little bit of work. They're going to have the work that cut out for them to restore that brand, but I'm glad that somebody's at least going to fucking try.
They're going to have a new subscriber. I'm definitely going to subscribe to them. There are only a handful of magazines that I still, physical magazines that I actually buy, and this is one that I'm going to be supporting. I'm very excited about it. I do love it.
Anything else, Simon?
Let's have a final look at the box office for this weekend, so how it's going to pan out. We obviously talked about Black Panther at the top of the show. The only other sort of major release this weekend is Early Man, but that's going to open around 6.5 million. That is not going to be busting
major
any
release.
Blocks. So we're looking, I probably won't won't even make the top five. The box office this weekend is looking at Black Panther 1, Peter Rabbit 2, despite the Barry controversy this week. Did you hear about that? People complain about this.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
Allergies to fucking berries. I mean, Jesus.
This is just like we're now living in this apology culture. It's like, fucking apologizing for everything.
Ridiculously stupid.
Own that shit.
50 Shades is going to be number three, likely. Jumanji 4, and then 1517 to Paris, rounding out the five. So it's really going to be, you know, Black Panther's weekend with something like, you know, 200 million.
I love all the art that we're getting for Black Panther. I've seen so many gorgeous posters.
Mondo are releasing a really nice poster
today. Keep your eyes peeled for that one. And you know, I will join the chorus in saying, you know, Ruth Carter's costumes are just stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, she should. I don't know what else comes out this year, but I'd be surprised if she did not win the Oscar. And just going to the premiere and seeing, you know, the largely African-American audience and how decked out they were and all the regalia. I mean, it was beautiful. It really was something to be there. So thank you to Marvel for that invite.
A lot of my friends who actually went and saw it in L.A., they had a lot of people who dressed up to go and see it.
I brought my Nigerian buddy. You know, he was delighted to be there. It was cool to share that moment with him.
It's a really satisfying movie. I really enjoyed it. So I'm really pleased.
Everybody enjoy Black Panther. And you know what? I hate to have to fucking say this.
What's that?
Be safe out there. You know, there's a lot of fucking nuts out there. There's a lot of racist nuts out there. Just be aware of your surroundings in the theaters, folks.
Yep.
That's, you know, I hate that we're living in a world where I have to say that, but be careful.
It's genuinely a concern that has been raised by a number of people.
Yeah. I think that'll do it for us this week, right?
Absolutely.
Where can the good folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ShowbizSimon. I'm now picking my followers very carefully, so you won't all be able to do that. And you can see my work in various places, including Forbes. Where can we find you, Jeff?
I'm over at the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com.
Yep.
At The Insulator on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for watching the Popcorn Talk Network. Rate, comment, subscribe. Tell your
friends.
Folks. Tell your grandmother. Grandmothers love me. Enjoy Black Panther weekend. You just met the movie press. We'll be back next week. Later, gang.
Thanks, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.